Okay, as this is the last Sunday of the month, we will conclude our meeting 15 minutes early to hold our business meetings. Our meeting format calls for a guest speaker followed by open discussion. Our guest speaker will share for 30 to 45 minutes. At our speaker's discretion, we may invite questions from the audience for up to 10 minutes before we begin the discussion portion of our meeting. It is now my pleasure to introduce tonight's chair speaker, Lupe from Three Rivers.
Hi, my name is Lupe, and I am a drug addict and a drunk. I'm an alcoholic. I'm a drug addict, too. Yeah. So I feel very, very privileged to be here. And this is how it was. You know, when it started very young. Because, you know, I couldn't speak the language. And I come, and the schools didn't have English as a second language. So it was very confusing, and I came from an alcoholic family where my father was an alcoholic and my mother was the enabler. So I got to see and learn that behavior as I grew up. And I grew up very angry because I couldn't speak the language. I didn't want to go to school. There was constant chaos in the home. I think we lived like near a bar. So my dad was constantly in that bar and my mom was constantly fighting or crying or, you know, it was just chaos. I don't know if you guys can understand where I'm coming from. But anywho, it just continued that way through, you know, when I was small, like, I don't know, second, third grade, fourth, fifth. Once I started growing up a little bit more and I was in sixth grade, a friend of mine, her older sister, asked us to go out. I'm a country girl, so she said, let's go out into the country. My sister's going to be out there, older sister in high school, and she popped open a tall can. So we're small, we're still young, and so I took a couple of sips, and I will never forget it. I didn't feel what I felt, you know, in my normal skin, I didn't feel like my skin wasn't the right color. I couldn't speak very fluent English. I didn't really know what was going on. But when I took a little sip of that beer, everything changed. It was like my whole demeanor changed. I was all light. You know, I felt good. And I wanted more. So I kept on drinking. I was, like I said, I must have been in sixth grade. I wasn't in junior high yet. So I kept on drinking. I drank until I started throwing up, but then I wanted to do it again. And it just went on from there. So as I'm going into junior high, my parents had separated by this time. And I'm out of control because my mother has siblings. You know, there's eight of us. I come from a Mexican family. So there's a lot of us. A lot of them go to work. I'm one of the youngest of the kids, so they don't care my mom can't speak English. Nobody's in charge. There's chaos in the house. I want to go to school. So, you know, by the seventh and eighth grade, I'm already, you know, smoking pot. Drinking is always part of it. But, you know, then a little bit of pot was introduced, and that took me to a different level. So now I'm really getting suspended, and I'm angry. I've been angry all this time because I'm upset with, I don't like the skin I'm in, the color. I can't speak the language. I don't want to go to school. There's chaos in the house. My mom's always gone, and my dad split. So I'm still, you know, I'm growing up in this, and I'm pissed. I go to school. I fight with the kid, with the other students. I get kicked out. I get suspended. I'm constantly not going to school. I'm ditching school. Anything to do with trying to get away from any order, any feeling myself. I didn't like the skin I felt in it. I didn't feel right in it. I didn't know why. Why? I had two older sisters, but they weren't like me. I didn't know. I didn't understand that. For some reason, I thought, I was even angry at God. I said, you know, he must have created me different because those two older sisters, they don't feel like I feel. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do that. I'm constantly fighting. I'm constantly getting suspended and thrown out of school. I finally get thrown out of school in the eighth grade, and I don't graduate. I leave school, and they try to put me in this thing called continuation, which they didn't even have. I didn't even know what they had then. I didn't want to go there either. So I find myself a boyfriend who's straight out of the youth authorities, and I think he's all fine and all that. But he wants to drink and party all the time, and I said, whatever he's having, I'm going with him. So that just led to more of my lifestyle. So by the time I'm 14, I'm already pregnant, and I'm ready to have another one. But they've shipped me off to a girls' school. I'm already going into juvenile hall, and I've already got two kids by the time I'm already 16 years old. Never went to high school because I didn't even get through that continuation school. Now, this guy this is the name, Slick Mick. Wait, that was Mr. Slick Mick. They used to say he could screw you and you wouldn't know it until 10 months later that you've been screwed by that man. But anywho, this comes the abuse. Then comes up more abuse because now I'm getting beat up. I'm getting kicked. I'm getting thrown. My hair's getting pulled. I'm getting thrown out of cars. I'm constantly fighting. Girls are always going out with Slick. So now it just goes into more confusion, more anger, more bitterness, more loss in my own, you know, my own making of my own life, which I didn't know. I just felt that something was fucked up about me. Excuse my language, but something was wrong with me. And I didn't know what it was. Why was I always attracted to you guys? You know, why did I always want the guys that wanted to party? Why did I always want the girls? You know, why did I always want that? Why didn't I ever feel, you know, like I wanted my life to be normal, like a normal person, but I didn't know how to get normal. I didn't know what normal was. So as my life goes on, now it's juvenile hall. Now I'm hitting 18, so now I'm going to jail behind. You know, it starts off with the drinking, but then it's like, oh, I feel a little drunk, and I want something to pick me up a little bit or smoke a little bit, and it just keeps on going. So by the time I'm 18, 19, 20, now I'm going into, I don't know if you guys ever heard of the Women's Institution, CIW, that's California's Institution for Women, because now I'm older. So my kids are growing up in this chaos. Slick Mick and I are both swinging in and out of getting locked up. I'm always, you know, wheeling and dealing and trying to figure out how to stay out of myself. Because that's just the way it was. That was the way it was. I could never feel normal. I feel really good in this meeting. I was like, oh my gosh, my people. I never felt normal with people. Only when I went to the jailhouse, I see all the girls, you know, and I'd say, oh, the girls are, I'm back with the girls, you know, because I felt comfortable with them because I knew that they were just as jacked up as I was. But you girls or you people are trying to get what I wanted to get, but I didn't know how to get there. So the first time in all my life, I'm in Bakersfield. And they opened up this new facility, and for the first time in my life, I heard, ladies, line up. The women from AA are here. And I said, what the hell is that? Because I saw some women lining up. And I go, what's that? I go, hey, loca, what are they doing? She goes, they're lining up for that meeting. I go, what meeting? She goes, oh, that's for the girls are the alcoholics. And I go, the alcoholics, what are they doing in that lineup? They go, well, they're going to let you out 5 days early. That's all I heard was they're going to let you 5 days early. I go, ah, fuck that. I just said it like that. I go, ah, fuck that. I don't give a shit. I ain't lining up for that. And that was the first time I'd ever heard that AA. Well, I got released, went back to the projects because that's my, you know, I went back to the barrio, back to the hood, back to the ghetto, back to the housing project. And then I meet a guy who speaks Spanish, and I saw him before. He was, you know, he was an alcoholic, and he was in a wheelchair, and he had a dog with him all the time that pulled him around. His name was Weddle. And anyways, Weddle was always there, and I saw Weddle drunk all the time, you know, with his little beer and on his wheelchair with his dog. When I got out of there, he tells me, in Spanish, he goes, Lupe, you know, he goes, Alcohólicos Anónimos, something like that in Spanish. And I go, I heard it again. Hey, that's that alcoholic thing that I heard. I go, oh, no, güero. You know, alcohólicos, no, drogas. Soy drogadita. I didn't even know I was an alcoholic. I had no idea. I thought I had only that other problem. Because I was so far gone that I didn't know that I could have, I thought, once I had one beer, two beers, three beers, four beers, or whatever, Thunderbird, whatever it was that we're drinking, you know? And I just knew that I couldn't maintain it, so I went to the other one. So it was both. And I go, nah, I don't want to go. And it's in Spanish, and I'm not, you know, now I can speak English, but I'm too drunk to listen. And he was like, come on, you need to go to the meetings with me. And I go, nah, I ain't going with you. Anyway, so keeps on going. Go back in, come back out. So now I'm a little bit more open. When I see him, now he's driving a car. I was like, check you out, güero. He's like, yeah, I told you, I've been clean, I've been sober, I've been, you know, I've been working a good program. Agarré un carro. So he's driving his car now, and he was in a wheelchair, but the car had like some kind of maneuver mechanism that he could do it with his hands. And he goes, come on, I'll give you a ride. I go, no, I don't, I'm not, you know, you know how they say when the student is ready, the teacher will appear? Well, this student was not ready. And Slick Mick had already killed him. Well, he didn't kill him. Yeah, he did kill himself because it's jails, institutions, and death, and we're slowly committing suicide. So Slick Mick is dead by now, so I done picked up another guy. So this other guy doesn't know how jacked up I am, or I don't know, we're both jacked up. And he goes, when I retire, I'm going to move to Three Rivers. I'm going to build me a house. And I go, yeah, whatever. Let's hit the pipe, you know, get the crack pipe out, homie, whatever whatever dream it is. You know how we all have those dreams. Well, I'm going to do this. And I was like, yeah, okay. So I don't know. This is God's honest truth that I'm telling you guys that. I was so jacked up, drunk, and tweaked that I saw big cockroaches in my apartment. And I was tripped out. I don't know what the hell got into me. I think it was God. I always believe it was God. I said, for some reason, because I'm afraid of bugs. And I got all tripped out. And he goes, let's move. I'm going to retire. I go, let's go. Hurry. Grab my shit and get out of here. Don't forget the bottle of wine and the pipe and everything else. Just get out of here. So I moved up to Three Rivers, and I was like, what the hell? There ain't nothing but white people here. I said, shit, man, I left the project. These white people, all I know is they were my teachers, they're my parole officer, they're my probation officers, they're the one that says, squat and cough, or we need some urine now. You know, they're that's who they are to me, because I don't even socialize by this time. I'm like, I don't talk to no white people. They're probably a snitch or, you know, drop a dime on me or something. I'm all paranoid and tripped out. So I go up there and I'm like, oh, crap. What the hell did I do? And anyway, so I moved up there and I end up, my husband takes off, you know, and he leaves me there because he's working out of town. And anywho, I go, I gotta go get me a bottle of wine because I didn't want to score. I couldn't score. So I went back to, you know, drinking because I was afraid. I go, I don't know these people. I only know the guys from, you know, Pancho, Loco, Güero, Perro, you know, all them from the hood. I don't know these people. I don't know where to go score. So I went to the store and up in Three Rivers, it's not like, you know, right here. It's kind of going up and down. So there's a little store up there called the Three Rivers Market. There was like those, you know, those poles they have to stop people from going into the store. God darn it. I was in the pickup going to go get myself a bottle of wine. And I don't know why I didn't step on the, brake. It was a little Oriental guy out there smoking a cigarette. I almost ran that man down. I just kept going. I plowed right into a little stop sign. And he jumps out of the way. And all I could think, God is my witness, is thank God I'm going to jail. That's what my saving grace was. I was like, I know I'm jacked up. I know I'm messed up. Nobody has to tell me. The psych tech from the jail, you know, the the therapist. Just give me my meds. I know I'm messed up. I know I'm loony. I know something's wrong with me. I thought, oh, thank God I'm going to jail. I said, I don't know. I've never been locked up in Tulare County, but whatever. Three hots and a cot. But so he didn't call. He said, do you have insurance on this truck? And I go, yes. He didn't even call the cops. And I was in shock. Because, you know, in the hood, you're gone. You know, you break up and how you break out in handcuffs. So I was like, wow, I didn't go to jail. And so I went back and I met this lady that started going to meetings, and she invited me. Brenda. Loca, she's crazy, but she was my only, like the only person that I knew there. And this is a God's true story. She invited me across the street. It was at the Presbyterian church because I couldn't drive anymore. This is how it started. I couldn't drive because the truck was totaled. She walked across. She goes, do you want to go to the meetings across the street? There it was, AA again. And I go, hell with that, man. I'm up here with all these hillbillies. What am I going to do anyway? You know what I mean? I'm like, oh, well, I can walk. So, you know, I did a couple of hits up the pipe, took a couple of shots of mezcal, and walked. Well, I did the mezcal first, and then I took the hit. And I go, okay, I'm normal enough, self-medicated enough, so that I can go and be okay with it. You know, be okay walking across the street. So I ended up with walking across the street. And it's, again, it's not a straight shot. Like, we are here to the liquor store. Remember, we could just walk to the liquor store and walk back. No, it's always like this. So anyways, I'm walking across the street to go to the Presbyterian church, and I fall down. I fall down, and I roll down like this little, like a little hill. God darn it, and I have leaves. You know, my hair is, I have leaves in my hair and twigs in my hair, and I was cracking up because everything's funny when we're loaded and drunk or, you know. I was like, I was cracking up. I go down into, I walk into the meeting, and I looked in, and everybody was quiet. And I was like, crap. And none of them looked like me. They're all white. I said, oh, shit. And I just didn't say anything. I stayed quiet, and I stayed in the corner, and that's where it started. I stayed going for a while with my neighbor, the one that had invited me, and this other girl, but she didn't keep going. So I just kept going. It was only for an hour. And it was only once a week, so I thought, what the hell, you know, I'm going to do it. And I just started going. I wasn't working the program, but I was listening. And I said to myself, what is with me? If all these women have problems with alcohol and anything else, and life is throwing life in, you know, on life's terms to them, and they're doing it without drinking, why can't I do it? And so I did the next indicated thing and everything that was suggested. I got myself a sponsor. It took me a whole year before I even asked for a sponsor. It took me a whole year to go there. I was going there loaded all the time, a little bit, a little bit, a little bit, till it was less and less and less. And finally, I got a sponsor. And then I worked the steps. And then the miracle happened. You know, it happened to me. Because I did all that was required of me. As hard as I worked to go score, as hard as I went to go get liquor, as hard as I went, you know, to do all the things that we have to do for our disease, I said, if I can work that hard for that, I can do this. But I just have to work at it. I have to do everything my sponsor tells me. I have to call in. I have to be of service because you know how it is. We want everything. We want to. Don't make me do anything. I don't want to. No, don't call on me. Don't make me do it. I don't want to do anything. You know, especially somebody that's a career welfare taker, you know, and baby maker. And, you know, that was just the way I was. I was lazy. I didn't want to do anything. I couldn't anyways. I was all jacked up. But my sponsor had me work the steps. I had a sponsor, and then I became the treasurer. I would make coffee. I would, you know, help set up, and that's how I started. And I'd go to as many meetings as I could go to, and, you know, I met real friends. I never really had friends because, you know, all my homegirls, they're dumpster diving, you know, nothing, you know, riding on a bike. I mean, I ride a bike now, but I have to ride it with, you know what I mean? Like, riding a bike and, hey, look, I want you, you know, and they're all riding real quick and, you know, and I wasn't riding, you know, I met real friends. I met friends that, you know, that I could count on when, you know, the going gets tough, man. They were there for me, you know, because life is still hard. But I don't have to take that drink anymore. I don't have to go to that connection anymore. I don't have to do all the things that I used to have to do. I can be honest, you know, because I'm the queen of denial. No, I don't have a problem. No, I don't need a meeting. No, I don't want to go. It all, you know, this program worked. For somebody that was like me, like I said, I couldn't read, I couldn't write, couldn't do any of that because I didn't go to school. But with this program, it left my mind open to, I can do this. I can get a job, even if I'm cleaning up. Because I clean houses up there, the vacation rentals. So I go, I can clean, I can work, I can do things now. You know, I can drive, I can get my driver's license, I can pay my bills. I can do all kinds of stuff that I wasn't able to do before because, you know, then again, you know, the life that I led through the drugs and the alcohol, I wasn't able to do anything. I wasn't in any state to be responsible for my own life. And that's what the gift of this program has given me. Not only friends, not only you guys that I feel all connected. I feel like I'm at home. Like, I don't even know. I want to cry because I feel comfortable with you guys. I really do. I mean, I don't know how to tell you, but I feel like I could, you know, go kick back with you guys at your own house and feel comfortable with you. You know? So, and these are, you guys are my people. You're my people now. And I feel grateful for that. And I, you know, I'm thankful for this meeting. I'm thankful that I was able to come over here and meet you guys and come and tell you guys my story that, you know, that's just the way it was. And today it isn't like that. You know? So, again, you know, my name is Lupe. I'm an addict and I'm also I'm an alcoholic, and I want to thank you guys for letting me share.
We are now going to start the discussion part of this meeting. We'd like to hear from as many different people as possible, so please limit your sharing to allow for this. Our format calls for the speaker to call on people to share. This allows our in-person and remote attendees to have a chance to participate. I will now turn the meeting back over to our chairperson to pick from people to share. So, there you go. Okay. If you need help with anything, just let me know and I'll call.
How about Ivy?
I'm Ivy. I am an
alcoholic. Hi, Ivy.
Hi, Ivy.
Well,
I know her. That's my friend.
So, thank you so much for your share. I can really relate to that because I was a Hellraiser when I was younger also.
Were?
No, I am not a Hellraiser, no more.
We love you, Ivy.
Progress.
Not.
Progress.
We love you.
Progress.
Yeah, progress, not perfection.
Amen.
Okay.
Yeah,
they're making me red right now. So, I'm really grateful. I got a job and they just raised my hours on me.
That's right. Yeah, that's
I now work from 4:30 in the morning to 1:00 in the afternoon.
Amen.
Good.
So I'm working 8 hours a day, 5 days a week.
And you're here.
And I'm still here.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
That's right. That's what's up.
Yeah. Yeah. When you get paid.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Ivy.
Tell me. How about Raymond?
Raymond? Raymond, would you like to share?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, there you are.
Huh? Yeah. You said no? Raymond, he's right there. Oh, no? Okay, he said no. No.
Ian?
Ian?
Yes. Hi, my name is Ian, and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Ian.
I'm very happy that I'm here.
Thank you for your share. It was beautiful. You're going to make me cry. That was really sweet. The story's amazing. I'm just like everybody else in here, and you're just like everybody else. I thought that was a good message. I really appreciated it. I drank and used drugs my whole life, too. I was telling Callie one time, I went to a party one night in 1993, and when I got home, it was 2017. Mm. Yeah. And everything else in between, I can remember and I can't remember, you know. But I grew up here in town with a good family. I smoked my first cigarette in the Middle East when I was 10 years old. And I, on the streets of San Francisco and Hollywood and here, it's all over the place. The addiction took me everywhere. But I'm better today. I'm feeling good. And that's pretty much all I got. So thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Leah.
Valerie.
Okay, hi everybody. My name is Valerie, and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Valerie.
Hi, Val.
Thank you for your share. I love it. It was felt like I was right there with you the whole time. I could understand a lot about your share. Yeah. I just want to read really quick today's daily reflection. I hope the chat is okay. And it's called "The Teaching Is Never Over." March 26th. It says, "Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then." I have a joy today that I haven't had. You know, I don't really ever want ever. I too feel like I belong here, like I'm here with my people, you know. It feels really, really good to be able to come in to a place where, where I'm like, these are my people. That if I go up to them and I tell them, hey, you know, this is bothering me, or I'm feeling this type of way, they're going to be like, yeah, you know, I felt that too. And or if I feel like drinking or something, they'll be like, you know what, let's go somewhere, let's go do something, let's read a book, let's go to a meeting, and it feels like I'm alive. I'm learning today how to live, and I love it. I really do. So I want to say I'm very grateful to be in this meeting tonight of Alcoholics Anonymous. I'm grateful to be with you guys, and that's all I got. Thank you.
Thank you, Valerie.
Go ahead. Ellie.
I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Ellie.
And I just love this woman. I was at all those meetings she came to when she came, they said that first year when she came high. And I was like, you know, you can't ever guess who's going to get this and who's not. Because she'd come in and her eyes would just a little slit, you know. And she just sit there so high. But she was listening. Like, she never shared, but she showed up. She just kept showing up. And so obviously stuff was getting in there, you know, and it was just, it's just been such a joy to watch over all these years. So tomorrow she'll have 15 years of recovery.
Woo-hoo. Wow.
That's huge.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't have ever guessed it. And, she's been a huge blessing to me, and I knew she would be awesome sharing her story tonight because she always carries a really good message because it's just from the heart. It's always real, and it's just, you know, there's no quote in any books. It's all just life experience, and it's genuine from the heart, and I'm so proud of you. I can't even begin to tell you. And like she said, it's like it's a never-ending process. We're always having to do work because life continues and it throws you a curveball every now and then. And then you're right back to the basics and you're right back to everything that you learn when you come in here. You know, you've got to keep doing the same exact stuff. You have to do the prayer meditation. You have to do the writing. You have to go to meetings. You have to call your sponsor. It's like all of the things you do the minute you come in here and decide to commit to this recovery program. The same stuff you got to keep doing. But in the end, it really makes for an awesome life. And you can just, like, remember. And you can have a positive influence on your children and your employer and your family members and your friends. And it just, like, keeps getting better, you know? Like, that's what they told me when I came around here. It's like, it's really hard, you know? And they're like, just hang in there. It gets better. And I was like, when is it going to get better? Because it's slow. It's just, like, a long, slow process. But if you do what's suggested around here, it really does get better. It's amazing how that happens. Thanks for calling on me. I'm so proud of you.
Thank you, Ellie.